God, we thank you once again for Jesus. Father, I pray that today, as we sing about the song Away in a Manger, or we talk about the song Away in a Manger, Father, that the words that we read, the words that we hear, will impact us to our core. And God, I pray that you would open up our hearts and minds for what you have for us. Father, I pray for these kids as they're sitting in with us today. God, settle their bodies. And Father, I pray that you would just touch them and encourage them as well. Father, be with us this morning and the rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat, guys. So as some of you heard, it was my birthday this week. My family was very gracious to me. They gave me an awesome Sundays, I don't know, ice cream sundae instead of birthday cake. It was a lot of fun. It was great. And we had lasagna, so it was great. It was really good. And then I got to go to Edmonton for a meeting on Friday, and then went to a hockey game, which was also equally cool. Got to sit up in the high part of the Rogers Place, I think it is called, Rogers Place, in Edmonton, and we sat basically as high as you can go, but we were sitting on top of the ice, essentially, because of how steep we were, and we had servers bringing us food, and we had pulled pork, and we had the most amazing poutine I've ever had, because I've never been to Quebec, but it was amazing. And then we had, food was so good, guys. Macaroni and cheese, handmade and with swirly cheese, and then jalapenos, fried jalapenos on top. And you could add whatever toppings. It was like a sundae, except with macaroni and cheese. It was so good. Trust me, it was amazing. And if you wanted pulled pork or ground beef or whatever, I just put jalapenos. Lots and lots of jalapenos on it. It was great. And as many Pepsi as I could drink all night. That's probably a cheap date for them, but that's okay. It was fun. And then I got home yesterday morning at 4:30 through the wind. It didn't help me with the gas mileage, I'll tell you that. Anyways, Away in a Manger, a Christmas Carol. We're continuing on. This is the third week of our series, A Christmas Carol. And if you're trying to re-listen to them online, I'm hoping to have them up. They are uploaded, but they don't seem to work. So I got to figure out what's going on this afternoon and see if I can get them working today. So if you go there, you see a picture and you see something that says NANN. It's because the audio didn't load right. So bear with me. Is it loading, recording now properly, Nora? Great. Last week we also had a malfunction there, but that's okay. So A Christmas Carol. Away in a Manger. It's a classic, isn't it? It's a classic Christmas carol that we sing. And truthfully, those were all four verses, right, Mary? Four? Three. Three verses. I honestly thought that was all part of one verse. I never look at a hymnal. I haven't looked at a hymnal since I was little, so forgive me. But I'm going to give you a little context of the song, about the song, when it was written. So the song was first published in a Lutheran Sunday school curriculum in 1885. So it's a cool Lutheran curriculum piece. And there's a lot of controversy about who wrote these lyrics. Some people think that it was Martin Luther, the father of the Reformation. But after a lot of study and research, many people think it wasn't him who wrote it. So nobody really knows, is the long and short of it. Nobody knows who wrote the song, but some places you'll read in hymnals, Martin Luther. They don't believe it was him now. Someday we'll know. But right now we don't need to. It's just a great song though, isn't it? There's a mystery around the song. But it's a song that has touched people's hearts for decades after decades. It's a song that I've always loved. And like I say, I didn't realize that we were singing three verses there. I thought it was all one. But it's a song that just touches my heart. I just love singing it. I remember as a kid learning sign language for it in school and doing it as one of our parts, like our, what do you call it, Christmas concert things. Christmas concert performance, that's the word. Christmas concert performance. But I remember singing there and all the actions. I don't know what they mean anymore, but I remember doing them. And if you sang it and I did the actions, I'd probably be awesome at it. And we could have entertainment tonight. But there's something about that song. Something about imagining Jesus being born. God stripping himself of glory, sending Jesus to earth, being born in this lowly place, showing that none of us are too low for his grace. That's what that really did. When he was born in that cave, it showed that none of us, no matter what we've done, no matter how low we might be, are too low for the grace of God. None of us. None of us. And if I hope that might encourage someone today, because some of us, we like to beat ourselves up sometimes, but none of us are too low for the grace of God. And there's a phrase that's used over and over again that I want to focus. And my hope is that for as you sing the song for years to come, and maybe as we sing it on Christmas Eve, I don't know what we're singing on Christmas Eve. Maybe we sing this. I don't know. Maybe you're singing carols somewhere. But I hope that as we sing this song, that this comes to memory of what we talked about today. And maybe bring some alignment to what's going on with you at that moment. And there's the words, the little Lord Jesus. And I like that phrase. It's a good phrase. Don't get me wrong. But in saying that, when we focus on this baby Jesus, I think it does a disservice to who Jesus is. Because people picture, what do you picture when you picture a baby? You picture someone who can't take care of themselves. You picture this 6-pound, 4-ounce baby Jesus. What can a baby do for me other than a cute photo op? I don't know. But it isn't just as dear 6-pound, 4-ounce, or 8-ounce baby Jesus. There's much more to this than what God had intended, I believe. And so rather than focusing on the size of the baby, what I want to focus on is the lordship of Christ. The lordship of Christ. And that's going to be the key thought for today when we talk about the little Lord Jesus. The lordship of Christ. Because Jesus is Lord. Can you say that with me? I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, and I want you all to say, okay? So watch my fingers. So Jesus is Lord. 1, 2, 3.
Jesus is Lord.
Okay. So do you believe that? Because 740 times in the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as Lord. 740 times. And I want to look at one of the classic Christmas verses, one of the most quoted verses from Luke's gospel, where we talk about the birth of Jesus. And show you that the very first mention of the Savior's birth, we see him called Lord. And it's Luke chapter 2. And the context, the shepherds were watching their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared and said, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." The news they'd been waiting for centuries. Who is he? He is Christ the Lord. At the beginning of the story, it is established that Jesus, the Son of God, is born. He is the Savior of the world. He's the Savior for all of us. For those who want to believe, he is the Savior. He is Christ the Lord. And the big question that I want to deal with today is, what does that really mean for us? What does it mean for you and me? What does it mean for mankind? If Jesus is Lord, what does that mean for my everyday life? If you're married, what does that mean in your marriage? If you're in school, if you're taking tests, if you're driving, what does that mean for that? If you're buying Christmas presents and you're running through the Midtown Plaza like we were yesterday, what does that mean? If you're in Costco, which I really want to avoid right now, but I'm unfortunately not going to be able to this week. What does it mean when you're in Costco? That Jesus is Lord. What does it mean to make Jesus your Lord? So there's a Greek word translated as Lord, and it's the word kurios. And this word can mean supreme in authority. It means controller. And it also means Lord. So Jesus is the supreme in authority. Jesus is the controller. Jesus is Lord. So what does that mean? How do we make Jesus Lord of our life? And it can be difficult for just a moment. And I'm not here to make anybody feel bad, but technically we don't make Jesus Lord of our life. You can't make Jesus Lord of your life. Did you know that? You can't. You can't make Jesus Lord of your life. Because God made him Lord years and years ago, long time ago. So he was already Lord. We don't make him Lord. What we do is surrender to him what is already his. We surrender to his lordship. We don't make him Lord. God made him Lord. We surrender to who he is. We surrender to his authority. We surrender to his control. We give to him what belongs to him. We give to him lordship of our life. He is Lord. We surrender to the one who is already in control. So how do we do that? There's two different ways. The partially surrendered life is one way. And I'm afraid that this is where a majority of Christians would live. There are so many casual Christians or cultural Christians. There's a songwriter that, a country music song, which I don't listen to, but at my last church, Pastor Shane talked about the casual Christian. And then I can't remember the name of the songer. Brad Paisley, maybe? Anyways, doesn't matter. Casual Christian. And he talks about the casual Christian in this song. And it's sad that they made a country song about the casual Christian. See, it's the partially surrendered life. It's the people that believe in God, but they live like he really doesn't exist. They live like he isn't really Lord of their life. And Luke 6:46 says, Jesus was talking about the wise builders and the foolish builders. And speaking about the foolish builders, he'd say, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Why are you giving me lip service? I don't want lip service." He doesn't want your lip service, guys. You know what he wants? He wants your life service. That's what he wants. He wants you to live your life like he's Lord. I don't want a bunch of talk. Don't just talk about it. Walk it. That's what I want. So why is it you're calling me Lord and then you do whatever the heck you want anyway? This isn't a game. Jesus saying, let's get it right. Make me Lord, Lord. See, there's people that believe that, yes, Jesus is there, Jesus is Lord, but I still want to be controlling my life. I still want to be the controlling authority of my life. I want to be the controlling authority of Dave so I can have more fun, because if I'm surrendering to his lordship, there's no way that's more fun. I know fun, right? That's what people think. People want to control their life. They want to be in control. I believe Jesus is Lord, but I still want to do whatever I want. Jesus is Lord, but I'm not going to trust him with everything. And so, before long, we end up practically by the way we live, we just take the Bible and say, you know what? Oh, boy. We just take the Bible. Oops. And we talk about it and we read, and you know what? We read God's word and we just say, you know what? Forget it. Yeah. You know what? I'm bad with my money, guys. I can't tithe 10%. But I don't. Okay. Time. Yeah. time. I'm tight on time, guys. I don't have enough time. I need to spend time with him, and I need to know him. I can't do that. No. Trust him with everything? No. No, not going to happen. I'm living my life the way I want to live my life. Man, there's stuff here. Trust him. Again, nope. Yeah, no, I'm living my life. But we want to live, we read the Bible, maybe we tear out the parts that don't mean anything to us, or maybe we don't want to give up that control of our life. It's football season. I love football, you guys know that. There's a game this morning, I'm sure, somewhere. Somewhere in the world, there's a football game to watch. No. And some of you right now might be ready to throw something at me because I tore stuff out of the Bible. Afraid I'm going to get struck by lightning for ripping out of the Bible. I didn't really rip pages out of the Bible. I put loose leaf in there, just so you all know. Don't throw anything at me. But the truth of the matter is this. Many of us, every day of our life, tear pages out of God's word, out of God's truth every day when we want to hold on to parts of our life, don't we? We tear that part out. Healing? Whoa, no. Nope, nope, nope. Authority and control? Nope. Anything I don't like, really? Nope, done. Nope, not going to fall. But now I got the rest. I'm good with the rest. And your Bible starts looking a little frayed and torn apart and destroyed because you just keep tearing pages out. You can't just tear pages out of the Bible and say, oh, no. Oh, what do you do when you got half a page you agree with and half it you don't? You begin start looking like an FBI or a CIA research file where you start blocking out lines. You can't pick and choose. You either give him lordship of your life or you don't. It's a fact. We got to be less busy ripping pages out of God's word with how we live, and more busy focusing on making him Lord. So Jesus said, don't call me Lord and then go about doing whatever you want. Don't tear out those pages and live your life how you want. Don't call me Lord, Lord, and go on living your life the way you think is best. How can you call me Lord, Lord, when you don't even know what I say? So I got a scripture here. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 from the PSV. Trust in the Lord with some of your heart. Lean on your own understanding. In some of your ways, acknowledge him. And you can make your own paths. Straight. The partially surrendered version. The PSV. Which, if you read this, I have this in bold. I'll duck down. Not a real version. You cannot find this. You can't find the partially surrendered version. So don't worry. But here's the deal. What you need to understand is Jesus is not a part-time Lord. And he doesn't want part-time followers. He doesn't want part-time followers that are going to tear out pieces that don't apply to them, that they think don't apply to them, or they can't give up from their own control. When you come to him, he asks you to give your whole life. He says, surrender to me. You want to follow me? Then take up your cross and follow me. He said, if you want to find your life, you need to lose it. It's in scripture, right? We've read it. You need to give it away. You need to surrender it. You need to come under the lordship of Christ because he's the supreme in authority. He is the one who says what's right and what is wrong. It's not up to me to say what's right or wrong. Whoa, whoa. John, I saw what you did. That was wrong. But then I saw what you did 2 weeks ago. That was okay. That was right. It's not up to me. It's not up to John. It's not up to Nathan. It's not up to Lyle. Not up to Gary. Not up to any of us to say what's right or wrong. It's Jesus and his authority. That's who says what's right and wrong. He is the supreme in authority. He is the one who says what's right and wrong. He is the one who is in control. He is the Lord of all. And we need to come under his lordship fully. It's not a pick and choose. Hey, I like this. Oh, I don't like that one. Is this one going to keep me out of hell, or is this one going to, you know, just change how I live a little bit? Oh, it's going to keep me out of hell. I better keep that one. No, that's not how this works. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? We must be willing to give every area of our life to the Lord. A fully surrendered life. A fully surrendered all-in life. Not a Sunday morning Christian. Not kind of when it's convenient Christian. But a full-on holding nothing back. My life does not belong to me. My life belongs to him. Full commitment. And Paul phrased this in Romans 14:7-8. He said, "For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." So let me ask you, how many of in this room, just by show of hands, how many of you are living? A few of you. A few of you are living. Well, that's good. Probably a solid 80%, right? 90% are living right now. That's good. I'm not a doctor, but I think that was false. So, for us that are alive, who do we live to honor? Who do we live to honor? What is our life an honor for? Because we should be living to honor the Lord with our life. With everything we do, we should be doing an act of worship to the Lord, to honor him, to lift his name up on high. And I've talked about this before. When we sing songs, we're not singing songs. Those aren't songs of worship. Yes, we're singing praise, so we're doing it with all of our ability. But this Sunday morning singing isn't our only act of worship. We're shoveling the driveway. We're doing it our very best for the Lord. We're going for coffee with somebody. We're doing our very best for the Lord. We're at our job. We're doing our very best for the Lord, because everything we do is for him. To honor him, the Lord, the Kyrios, the supreme in authority, everything we do is for the Lord. So who do you belong to? If you're a Christian, we belong to Kyrios, to the Lord. We belong to him. Our life is not our own. We need to surrender every single piece of our life. We need to surrender everything to the Lord. Stacy, can you come here? She doesn't know I'm doing this. It worked out very convenient. So, come up here, please. So Stacy and I got engaged and married almost 20 years ago. So I will tell you the story behind this first, and then I'll get to my point, but it's a funny story. So we went for a picnic. I thought this would be really romantic to get engaged on a picnic along the river. And we were along the Battle River, which isn't a raging river, but it's a river nonetheless. And so we were walking through the water, and she was like, kept trying to drag me into deeper water. I don't know if she knew I had a ring in my pocket or what. And this lovely, where is the engagement ring? Well, it's a set. But this lovely engagement ring was floating around in my pocket. And she's like, "Oh no, let's go deeper." And I'm like, "No, let's just come back. And I'm trying to propose to her in shallow water, so the water's flowing by. Would have been a beautiful picture. And she's got me in water up to here. It's pretty deep. Not a beautiful story. And then I was afraid I was going to lose the ring, so I just pulled the ring out and said, "Will you marry me?" in deep water, so I didn't drop it. It was wonderful, beautiful. But anyway, the ring, your hand. So here's this beautiful ring. If you can't see it, take a look later. It is a beauty I picked out. I went over the top. So we got engaged and married almost 20 years ago. And I saved up, and I actually tried to negotiate. Don't go anywhere. I tried to negotiate a bit of a deal on this ring. See, I was a student. I didn't make much money to work, or much money, so I wasn't working. And I bought this ring, and I went in, and I was like, well, come on, help me out here. Let's do a deal. So I did a bit of a horse trade, and God, oh, you don't know this. That's okay. But I bought this ring, and I got a bit of a package price. And I gave it to her, and I said, will you be mine? Will you marry me? Now, the question is, how much did that ring cost her at that moment? It cost me a lot, by the way. A lot. Lots. But how much did it cost her? Zero, right? Cost her nothing. It didn't cost her anything. But now when she received the gift, how much did it cost her? Cost her everything. Cost her everything. Will you be mine? Will you marry me? You can go sit down. Thank you. Take a look at that ring later. At that point, when we stood in like almost chest deep water, it was probably almost up to Stacy's neck. Because I'm taller, that's all I'm saying. See, the moment that we got married, she became mine. Now, for you, don't get sexist on me, because I also became hers. I belong to her, and she belongs to me. And it's the same way we belong to the Lord. We're His. Now, here's the thing. Some of you may say, that's crazy. She doesn't belong to you. She does. Because if you try to touch her, get near her, I will kill you. You need to understand that. And I belong to her because if I went out table dancing at some Greek wedding, I don't know where else you would do table dancing, but if I was table dancing at a Greek wedding with a bunch of young girls, can I do that? Not for long, because she's going to kill me, right? Very quickly. Because one of the reasons is because I can't dance. But also because I belong to her. And she's going to remind me of that very quickly, right? We belong to each other. We belong to the Lord. That ring, this ring, sorry, that I'm wearing, did it cost me anything? She bought it for me. Her ring didn't cost her anything. But when we exchanged rings, when I received her ring and she received the ring I bought for her, it cost each of us everything. Because she gave her life to me, and we gave our lives to the Lord. When Jesus shed his blood and died for you, he offered the availability of a free gift to you. He offered you availability of salvation. And it's by grace that you are saved through faith. It's not by works. No man can boast. It's the gift of God to you. Cost you nothing. Salvation costs nothing. Nothing to you. But it cost Jesus everything. But when you say yes to it, you no longer own the rights of your life. Do you know what I mean when I compare that with the rings now? You become His. Now everything you do is surrender to His lordship. Or should, anyway. Your life is no longer your own. You are no longer the controller. Jesus is Lord of your life, and He should become Lord of your life. And that's why I'm so afraid by this casual approach of Jesus, my buddy. Jesus is my homeboy. Chilling with Jesus. Or He's just a 6-pound, 4-ounce baby Jesus. My bell, my friend, Jesus. No, Jesus isn't just the Lord baby Jesus in a manger, is He? He's not my homeboy. He's not even just Lord Jesus on the cross dying for my sins. Is he? So do we really know him? Because Jesus said some of the most haunting words in all Scripture in Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Where he says, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and perform many miracles in your name, but I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who breaks God's laws. In our world, maybe you didn't know, you know, I went to church once in a while when it worked for me. I didn't always have money, but I gave it when I had to the guy ringing the bell at the mall. I didn't always help the lady across the street, but when I had a second, I did. When it worked for me. Wasn't I a good person? Wasn't that good enough? Didn't I tell them when they were wrong and that I didn't like that? Didn't I do all these good things, God? I did them for you. And Jesus said, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who breaks God's laws. I never knew you. If you're not in relationship with him, you're just giving him lip service. If you're not fully surrendered to him, if you're just doing, get rid of whatever doesn't work for you and doing the parts of the Bible that do work for you, if you're not fully convinced, fully living out who he is, we're missing out. He is Lord. He's the Lord that we need to surrender our full life to. He's the Lord we need to give full control to. Because when we give full control, when we give full authority of our life to him, doesn't it just work? Like, if we try to run our own ship, and we're trying to run our life the way we want, you're going to face hurdle after hurdle after hurdle after hurdle. But when you give the battle to Jesus, when you give your life fully surrendered to Jesus, when you give him all authority over your life, give him full control to the supreme authority, when you say, not my will, God, but your will be done in my life, when you give it to him, he takes control. And I'll tell you what, when you give him control, when you give him full authority, when you live under his lordship, he's not just the little Lord Jesus. He's not. He gave us eternal life. He gave us miracle after miracle. We are allowed to walk in his authority now. Things are different. Not my will, God, but your will. We need to live the fully surrendered life. See, like it says in Romans 4, 7 and 8, for none of us lives, the real version, sorry, not the PSV. Not the PSV. Mary, can you guys come up? For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. Sorry, wrong verse. Proverbs, sorry, 3, 5, and 6, the real version. Wrong page. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Guys, this Christmas season, I really want to encourage you. Do not look at the little Lord Jesus and think that that's all. It ended there. Don't look at the Jesus on the cross and think it ended there. Look at what we know in Scripture of who He is. Look at what He's done. Know that He deserves all authority of our lives. And it's up to us in the end. Are we going to give it? Because Stacy and I could have exchanged vows and not really meant it. Or not only in these parts, Stacy, but not this stuff. You can't say that to God. Only in these parts, God, you can have, but not that stuff. I'm not giving you that. So it's up to us to choose. Will we make Him Lord of our life? Full surrendered lordship. Or are we going to continue to try to hold on to those little pieces that in the end really don't mean much? Surrender to His authority. Surrender to His lordship. He's not just the little Lord Jesus. He is Lord. He is the King. He is the ruler of all. Guys, would you stand? God, we thank You that You are our Lord. Father, You are our King. Jesus, You have all authority over us. And God, right now, I pray that we would, if we're holding stuff back, if we've torn pages out of the Bible, the stuff that we want to control, Father, I pray right now that we would give those pages back to You, that we would live out in Your authority. It costs You everything. Jesus, it costs You everything. And God, I pray that if we were flippant about some of these things that it cost You, if we were flippant about some of Your commands, if we didn't give it the full worth of what it deserved or of Your lordship, God, I pray that those of us that did that would be repentant and that we would come before You and get to know You more. Jesus, I pray that this Christmas season, we look to You as Lord of our life and not just that baby Jesus. Father, I pray that today as we prepare for our Christmas banquet, that You would just excite us about opportunities to gather together, to encourage each other, and just to have some fellowship. Be with us this afternoon, in Jesus' name, amen. Guys, don't forget about the Christmas banquet tonight at 5 o'clock. Come early. You can hang out and visit, and not too early, just a little early. We're going to talk to Elaine and Myrna, because I'm sure they'll, if they need help with something, they'll tell you, because I'm the worst guy to talk to. We're going to sing one more song, and then Mary's going to dismiss us. So would you guys just sing this song with her?